second.
All right, trigger warning. This is the Freedom Fiends Variety Hour. Broadcasting Podbay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. On the corner of Trashview and Not Vista.
Yes.
We alter your locus coeruleus by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. Can you feel it?
Good, man.
Yeah.
We got Michael Dean feeling the radio wave. And we've got Veloshka.
I feel it. Feels so good.
Woohoo!
Oh! Am I buffering? I hope not.
A tiny bit. Also, I should mention that the Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments.
Except
them. You can learn more about that at BIPCOT.org.
I'm going to go there right now.
Ew.
Head on over to BIPCOT.org. That's right.
My lady friend's going to get me a tasty beverage. Do you guys have a tasty beverage?
I do, actually.
I don't currently have one in hand. I did have some magnesium water before I got on.
Oh, that sounds chemical and weird.
It was delicious.
How much am I buffering? Am I buffering a whole lot?
Just a tiny bit on my end.
You're fine.
All right. Yeah. I shouldn't be buffering because I'm doing something on my computer. I'm doing something important. Uploading giant audio files to my new website, cussfreeliberty.org. And people should go to cussfreeliberty.org. That's cussfreeliberty.org. And it's a cool site that I just made up. That's basically I found all of the Liberty shows that don't have cussing in them, that are radio friendly or grandpa friendly or square people friendly or little kid friendly, and just made a streaming feed of them. And it's pretty awesome and it sounds good. And I am raising money to try to keep it going so I don't have to spend my 20 bucks Bitcoin a month that Travis has pledged for the Cash Newman Fund. But if I have to, I'll spend that on it. But I have a donate button here, and I should probably say what it is before I ask for money for it. So basically the idea is it's like LRN, but without cussing. And it's good for people because, you know, a lot of people who like liberty don't like the cussing. And then there's people like us that like the cussing, but, you know, we're on radio, so we don't cuss. And then there's people that buy these transmitters and read this article called Make Your Own Liberty Radio Station for $120. It's actually more like $200 if you do it right. But if you get the deluxe version. And if you go to the shows link on CussFreeLiberty.com and more information link. I should just make a radio link. I should make a link to that article. I think I'll do that during the show. But basically, if you want to run a radio station and you have the transmitter and you have your BIPCOT license to run a radio station, you don't even have to curate it. You can just turn on this station and press the feed, and it has hundreds and hundreds of shows playing all the time. And then I add new ones when new ones post of various shows I've got. And then I do things like, you know, weed out the ones that don't have great audios, like Tom Wood's show usually sounds good, but sometimes his host doesn't, so I don't put those ones in. Ron Paul's podcast is great, but it's really quiet, so I normalize it, so it's the same volume as everything else. We got Free Talk Live. We got Mises Institute audio articles. Some of them are actually read by Freedom Fiend Diana Kyler, who wrote me today and said she took the DNA test and she is 0.5% black.
Nice.
So I'm 3.5% black, something like that. You know, I thought of something too. So we were talking last night about, hey, somebody, Quinn, who's that, Quinn? Who's got the loud headphones? Let me find out here. Let's see. Hello.
It's not me.
Let me see. Let me look across the room. It's Veloshka.
What?
And the winner
is your long hair making a like a air gap on the headphones, or is it just too loud?
It's tucked behind my ears.
Okay, just turn it down like 25%, 20%. You'll still hear us. We're loud. So I was thinking that we were talking about different genders last night, and there's actually like three or four aberrations of chromosomes that are part male, female, that like one quarter of 1% of people have. But like 3.5 to 5% of people claim to be trans or other, you know, in the gender department now. But it's actually like, so basically comes down to, I'm more black than America is actually trans, or than the world is actually trans. And I'm not very black.
Wow. Yeah.
So let's see. We also got on cussfreeliberty.org. We also got Isis William Grieg's Freedom Zealot, Jason Stapleton program, Free Coast Radio. Free Coast Radio is kind of weird when you play it other places than the Free Coast of New Hampshire, because it's got a lot of local news. It's kind of like, it's really weird hearing it somewhere else, but you know, it's still like they talk about their local constabulary, but it's lessons that we can all use. So then something called Neo Cash Radio, which is a coin inner cryptocurrency show. Who Will Build the Roads podcast, the Inner Tube Show. Inner Tube Show is like how to make your own media and make it great. And it's from guys that have like, you know, a half million followers on YouTube. So they really know their stuff. We have the Freedom Fiends, and we don't put out, it's not every Freedom Fiends episode. It's more the ones, this one will be on it. It's more the ones that are like really deep teaching about liberty. And we don't often have the ones that are like just jackassery, jack butter. Then we got the Bad Quaker. He's not making shows anymore, but he has hundreds of great, you know, classic episodes and some edited episodes of the Dangerous History podcast and edited episodes of Libertarians on Fire. And there's no show clock. It's just thrown into a random feed. Sounds great. You can brain, you know, lock someone in a closet and put it on 24/7 and brainwash them, you know, libertarian re-education camp. You can broadcast it on radio. You can put for your grandpa or your five-year-old nephew, anything you want, no cussing. And you can donate. I set up a GoFundMe. I have a Bitcoin, special Bitcoin address for it, and a PayPal. You can also help out me and the Fiends, but especially me. On if you guys got any schemes you want to promote, I'll go ahead after this. So get them together, get them ready. So I got a Patreon. You can give money on Patreon for me and spend some on the Fiends money and then buy burritos. So you got any schemes you guys want to talk about?
Velasca?
The only thing that I have is my Pleiadian protege page, which I'll have to spell because it is kind of hard to... write out.
You can also send me a Facebook link and I'll put it in the show.
Okay, we'll just put the link on there. That'll make it easier. And I have a Bitcoin donation link on there. And also, I think, a PayPal. It's Pleiadian Protege.
Cool.
That's kind of my anarchist name.
And your Facebook name is...
Well, Velasca Raptori is my profile.
Two names no one can spell.
I do that intentionally so that I can kind of weed out people.
So only people that can spell will you be... Well, there's creeps that can spell. And there's nice people that can...
That's true. I might come up with a better marketing name at some point. I'm working on it.
Yeah. So we're... You got any schemes there, Braden?
I don't know if you guys have ever heard about this radio show called The Freedom Fiends, but I'm here tonight to fully endorse the Freedom Fiends radio show.
I can't co-sign that. Brother, nope.
Well, all right. I'm on my own here then, folks.
You can say what you want. All right, so we're the Freedom Fiends. Before we go on to the main things, let's see what I got. Are you guys fans of Louis, the comedian Louis?
Yeah, he seems like a cool guy.
Yeah, I usually really like him, but I watched his new thing on Netflix. It's called like Louis 2017 or something, and I really didn't like it. It's because like, it doesn't have the usual heart and humanity of his stuff. It was like all mean. It's all about how you're going to die and it doesn't matter anyway. And like, usually he talks about how you're going to die and it doesn't matter anyway. And it's funny, but this was like just complaining and cranky. I don't know, man. I don't know what happened to Louis.
Maybe he's going through menopause. Louis.
Get together.
Probably.
Mm-hmm. Probably. Sounds like
well,
it.
Well, he is about 48. Menopause. So probably. Yeah. Menopause.
Sounds like it. Menopause.
That is funny.
Right on.
Yeah.
I hope he's listening to this. I don't think so.
So to you.
I think he's listening to this. Nope.
He should be.
I don't think he is.
He should be.
So we're talking about before the show. We're talking about guns. Yeah. you know, for home protection, and this is not legal advice, this is just stuff I've heard from people that know a lot more about guns than me. For home protection, if you live in an apartment, if you have a shotgun, you should have birdshot, and if you have a handgun, you should have hollow point bullets, because that makes you have less chance of blowing away your neighbors behind the drywall while trying to yourself.
This is very true.
You guys?
That's why I use hollow points. Yep.
Sounds like a good idea.
That's another reason. There's a lot of reasons to use hollow points. So, you know, hollow
points are illegal in my opinion.
Jersey. Isn't that crazy? Yeah, wow. That's a good reason.
They're safer.
Well, that's a good reason outside, too. You know, like, if you shoot somebody, you don't want it going through them and shooting four other people.
Right.
But, yeah, especially in apartments. Because in apartments, your neighbors
are just behind. You can take out your neighbor's cat easily, yeah.
Ugh, it's horrible. Nope.
That's the saddest thing I ever heard, taking out your neighbor's cat accidentally. That's worse than accidentally shooting
gun
your neighbor.
Gun safety, folks.
Gun or your safety. Neighbor's snake.
Yeah, snakes don't really have personalities, though. I'm sorry.
Why do you have them, then?
Because I love
Why
them.
Why do you have them?
They like cuddles.
I love I love things that have no personality.
I'm a this fan of unrequited love. Into her That's psyche kind of it is.
Did you say you're a fan of unrequited love? That's funny.
Yes.
Sounds kind of nihilistic, but in a cool way. You're nihilistic.
Story of my life.
Big fan.
Wow.
No, they like
Hear
cuddles,
that,
and they're easy to take care of.
Yeah.
That's the main reason. That you only have to feed them like once a month. I mean,
you
it's
toss
so
them a
easy
mouse once a
of.
Month.
Yeah.
Give them a mouse.
Yeah. What? I feed them mice. I feed them. Do I invite friends over?
To see, not ever. Do you ever have friends? Do you have friends? You don't have friends. No. So, do you invite friends over when you feed them?
Sometimes, yes.
I mean,
would you like to come over and watch? Is that what you're asking?
No.
I'm inviting.
I've seen.
Here is my official invitation. Everybody who's listening, you are free to ask me if you can come over. Yes, everyone. You are free to ask to come over. I can't guarantee that I'll approve your request, but
BYO.
Sure, come watch me feed my snakes.
Bring your own mouse.
Bring your own mouse.
Yeah, well, actually, that's great. Bring mice for me.
I know people who've had snakes. We're out.
Freedom Fiends. Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Wake up and smell the freedom. One of the easiest things you can do to help Liberty is to torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to help keep them drone-proof. You can set up your home computer to download and share Freedom Fiends archives over BitTorrent. You can even set up scheduling so it only shares while you're asleep or at work. Put your unused computing power to work and help keep the Freedom Fiends around well into the future. Simply go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Torrent Club link and learn how to torrent and share Freedom Fiends archives.
All right, and we are back. So, over the break, Braden and I were discussing this article that we came across from Disclose.tv entitled, "Are You Suffering from Trump Acceptance Resistance Disorder?" Which they have acronymed as, is acronymed a word? Can I say that?
Acronym.
We're going to go with that. All right. TARD, Trump Acceptance Resistance Disorder. Mm-hmm. So, as you all know, we are not Trump supporters. We are neither supporters.
He's a liar,
but this is still hilarious.
And his feet stink, as I recall.
Yes, he is. Wait, who?
Mr. Trump.
I don't think he's... Well, they're all socialists, in my opinion. Yeah.
I remember, slight tangent here, I remember reading his book and other things in the long distance past when he was a Democrat, and I'm pretty sure people would have called him socialist in the past.
Wait, so, I didn't know that. I had no idea that he was a Democrat.
Yeah, you should check it out. It's kind of cool how people can just make stuff up as they go along.
Do you say this is a book?
His book is called The Art of the Deal, and I read that when
I
don't know, 10 years ago or something. So, anyway.
Is it good?
It's horrible. No, don't read it.
Horrible.
If you want to learn about Trump, though, I think it is a little picture window into his mind.
Insightful. Okay, yes. Interesting.
Anyway, this article.
Yes, this article. So yeah. The article says, Trump acceptance resistance disorder is a pattern of pathologically disassociative and psychotic behavior. First observed in the late hours of November 8th, 2016, and increasing in severity with passing time. The sufferers of Trump acceptance resistance disorder, that is a tongue twister. I guess that's why they call it TARP.
That really is, yeah. Yeah,
often exhibit pronounced cognitive dissonance, sudden bouts of rage, uncontrollable crying, suicidal ideation, and extreme sadness.
Oh, those poor people.
Oh, my.
Wow. Anyway, it's a quite funny article. Obviously,
do you
it's
know
a joke.
Anyone? You don't know anyone like that, do you?
I do, actually. I would say that a certain family member of mine is definitely a TARP.
Are you going to call them out on radio?
You
should
send
this article to her.
I probably will.
All right.
Yeah.
Is she listening?
It's possible.
Okay,
if
good.
She is. She knows what's up. We talk about this all the time. So,
it says that there's individuals who are most likely to exhibit these kinds of behaviors. Membership in the Democratic Party, identifying as a feminist,
currently
enrolled in college and or Check. Possession of a liberal arts college degree. This is great. I'm not going to read the next one. Yeah. I don't agree with that. Hipsterism, though, that's great.
Ooh, yeah, definitely.
Oh, my goodness.
I like this part. Research is ongoing, but TARP appears to closely correlate to the following environmental and behavioral factor. So good. Such good stuff.
Yep.
Let's, if someone listening tonight feels like they might be suffering from TARP, there is a handy section here entitled Treatment. And it goes, the only known effective treatment is exposure therapy. The patient must be repeatedly exposed to reality and should wear a Make America Great Again hat as long as they are able to tolerate it. Would you
maybe,
agree with that
I think
treatment
you would have
program
to,
there?
Yeah, I think you have to start slowly. So maybe you started at 10 minutes per day, you wear the hat, and then you take it off.
And you only wear it in your house.
Right, and then you increase it to 20 minutes the next day, and eventually you get to the point where, you can wear it for the entire day, you can go to the grocery store, you can go out in public with it. But it's something that takes a while, I think. It's not something that's going to happen overnight, but there is a cure for it. There is treatment available.
There's hope, people. There is hope out there.
Not worry. We got you.
This is what the internet's great at. Joke articles.
Making fun of people,
and I guess
but again, we don't really support Trump either. So
it's it's true.
Joke.
And my sister knows this is all in good fun. It's just a jest. So yeah.
Yeah, of course. We're not that serious.
What about you, Valasha? Do you know anyone who might be suffering?
Oh,
from
Oh my
this
goodness.
Symptoms?
Yeah, no. I used to have a couple of coworkers who were like that. Honestly.
Sure.
But really, I think they're mostly gone now. They took their college degrees and went and got a real job.
They moved to Canada?
Yeah. Actually, I think one of them might have been thinking about it seriously. He might have gone there.
All right, well, we're not going to Canada. We're going to the
You're
market.
Listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Cell 411 is a free app for Android and iOS that replaces government-controlled 911. Cell 411 allows you to preset a group of friends or private organizations to show up in any emergency. Cell 411 is a nightmare for the state because it proves their so-called services aren't needed. Cell 411 has had thousands of installs, and of course it's covered by the BIPCOT No Government License. Cell 411 because your friends won't shoot you when you're in trouble. Without the government, who would build the emergency services? You and Cell 411. Get it today at GetCell411.com. That's GetCell411.com.
Talkie on the radio.
So you read from Bitcoin to Boots.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, hey, everybody. Freedom Fiends here. I'm Braden, here chatting with Valashka about you know, the various variety hour topics that are appropriate for this time of the evening.
We're going to talk about Bitcoins.
Oh, yeah, Bitcoin. Yeah. That's one of our favorite topics.
So, we've discussed Bitcoin on here before, but let me just, for anyone who hasn't heard it, it's a decentralized digital currency. So it's not really tangible like the dollars that you have in your wallet. But it's easier to use for online transactions from certain websites, and it's harder to trace sometimes.
Right on.
Which can be useful. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. Cool. So, you know, we're always reading these articles about Bitcoin and where it's going and where it's been. So I'm on Wired.com here for all you computer nerds. It's a popular website on one of the interwebs. Anyway, this article is called How an Anarchist Bitcoin Coder Found Himself Fighting ISIS in Syria. So just reading a little bit from the article here, it says, a self-taught software engineer, Taki, has long been a prominent and controversial figure in the Bitcoin community, one who dreamed of using the cryptocurrency to flout government control.
I think his first name is Amir. It doesn't say that in that paragraph.
All right, his first name might be Amir.
Sorry.
Is Taki not his,
Amir,
like,
Taki
name?
Is his name.
Amir Taki. Cool.
Correct.
Yeah, so he wants to, like, flout government control, break economic embargoes, and supercharge black markets worldwide.
Yeah.
So you know of this guy, Voloshka.
Bitcoins.
Yeah.
I know of him. I actually never heard of him before this article, to be honest with you.
Oh, okay.
Which
sounds
I'm
like
kind
he's
of
one
surprised.
Of the main Bitcoin coders? I did,
well, he was apparently, I guess, Dark Wallet, which is an Bitcoin wallet, so you store your Bitcoin on a digital wallet, and apparently this was another type of wallet which was supposed to allow untraceable Bitcoin transactions. So apparently that was his idea, and that was something that he was working on developing, and I had heard of it before, so I'm a little bit surprised that I hadn't heard his name, but I forget a lot of things. I have a lot of brain damage, so I'm not surprised. I blame jiu-jitsu.
Beverages ago. Yeah, I
blame jiu-jitsu.
Blame Brazilian jiu-jitsu.
That's the big part of it, getting thrown on the mat a lot.
All right, so anyway, reading on here, it says, in 2011, he developed his own complete rewrite of Bitcoin's core code and built a prototype for a decentralized Silk Road-style darknet market designed to be impervious to law enforcement. So anyway, this guy is like a software engineer. He's not really a soldier.
Fiend phone.
Ooh, fiend phone.
But he is a soldier now.
How did that happen, Voloshka?
Furries.
He says that he felt compelled. Yes, furries are always to blame.
you guys are talking about the guy who got drafted by libertarians. I mean, by
anarchists. Yes.
He said that he heard that there was an anarchist revolution occurring, and he felt compelled to help out because he'd always been more of an online activist, and he felt like he needed to do something in person.
Wow.
And I support that.
He's a heavy hitter, too. Takai?
Right.
Taki.
I mean, he's not just a Bitcoin fanboy. He's contributed code to the Bitcoin we're all using now.
Right.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Now, we were just talking about how he actually, Dark Wallet was his idea, which is the Bitcoin wallet, which is supposed to allow for untraceable transactions.
Right. And he also came up with the idea that became, what's the thing? I use it.
Furries.
It's like, no. It's the software that's like.
Mycelium?
No, Open Bazaar.
Oh, okay.
You guys know what Open Bazaar is?
I've heard of it.
Guys, mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, he created, it was at a hackathon, and he just sat down a couple hours and created like the code that was later turned into Open Bazaar as a business model. Open Bazaar is basically like a
Silk Road.
Everybody is Silk Road, but Open Bazaar, you can actually like rent hosting for it, like Derek Slopey, who invented Fiend Phone, sells Open Bazaar hosting at a reasonable price through his site, agoristhosting.com. But he doesn't allow illegal stuff on it, which Mm-hmm. It doesn't really take the fun away, though, because there's a lot of cool stuff on there anyway. And I actually sold something to the creator of Open Bazaar on Open Bazaar. That's kind of cool. I sold him a microphone. Nice. But, yeah, so Taki, created this thing, Dark Wallet, with Cody Wilson, the guy who invented the printable gun, who has been on the Fiends a bunch of times. He's a friend and fan of the Freedom Fiends. I'm actually mentioned in his book because I was the first person that interviewed him. And he's a cool guy. We like him a lot. But yeah, him and Taki raised money for this thing, Dark Wallet, and everyone was really excited about it because it would be like a built-in mixing service in a Bitcoin wallet. So your transactions would be truly untraceable. And they made a prototype of it, but like never got the bugs worked out of it. And then it just disappeared. And a lot of people were angry. Like they were like, oh man, Taki. And you know, like, oh, they raised like $80,000 for this and then just stopped, man. Like not really like it got ripped off because they actually made a beta, but like, oh man, that's lame. It just stopped, you know, like development on it. You know how people are like, hey, do it for me, free, that kind of thing.
Right.
Maybe it's because he was out
fighting. Well, it was. It was because he was out fighting, supposedly. Allegedly. And he says that he's going to, now that he's back, he's going to start Dark Wallet again. But I don't really doubt this story, but it's literally unbelievable. It's such an unbelievable story. Have we told the story yet?
I don't doubt it. We read some of the basic background.
Yeah, I kind of believe it, but Wired Magazine in this article says, you know, they weren't able to verify any of it, but you know, he could have been sitting in a web cafe in Egypt the whole time.
I want to believe.
Please, yes, the truth is out there in Syria.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it is true that, you know, some places in the Middle East, you do get conscripted for showing up. Like Nima Vedati, who started the Freedom Fiends with me, you know, the first 2 years of the show were just him and I every show. And then he left to go make babies, and I replaced him with 15 people because it takes a village to replace Nima Vedati.
Aww.
But he can't go visit his grandmother in Iran because he will get like thrown in the National Army if he goes there. That's crazy. Like a real chance, a real problem.
Mm. Yeah, for all our faults and issues over here, at least we don't have to deal with that.
Well, if we're American citizens, I mean, Trump's making it so, like, basically everyone's that bad off if they're not American citizens. Or he's actually making it hard for people to go visit, you know, like, that is even harder even for people that won't get kidnapped. Like, people that are here on, that have green cards are afraid to go visit relatives in their country of origin because they're afraid that Trump won't let them back in, and it's actually happened with some people.
That's kind of scary.
That guy. He's like Hillary Clinton turned inside out. Oh wait, can I say that on radio? Okay. Anyway,
Michael, you might need to do your monthly self check to see if you have TARD, as we discussed previously on the show.
I thought you were gonna say I was buffering. No, TARD is much worse.
You are what buffering. So.
Did you guys say what TARD was?
We all know what TARD means.
Am I buffering? I'm not buffering.
Just a tiny bit, man.
Okay. Well, I'll increase our buffer in here so we don't I'll take a buffer in.
And seriously though, do your self check, it's important.
Okay I'll do it in the shower.
Okay. Good idea.
Yeah, I got a shower radio on purse. You ever use purse, right?
We were just talking about purse.
Yeah,
nice. Yeah, and I was telling him that he should totally use it because it's great.
Yeah, it's great.
You should get bitcoins.
You should use the Freedom Fiends affiliate link or Veloshka's. You have an affiliate link, right?
I do.
How many people have
I
used
wasn't
it
going
so far?
To promote it because I know that you have one.
No,
so
you can.
I'm
want
on
you
your
guys,
show.
I want you guys to. You're on. I'm on your show. This is all our show. It's all our show until I get angry and like want to make a rule, and then I can make it so it's my show. But
my show.
It's our show until there's a disagreement.
It's your show.
Then
as
it's
long
Michael's
as it's
show.
How many people have used your affiliate link? How many of those 0.01 bitcoins have you gotten?
I think I had one person click on it.
Yeah, I've had four. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I was one of them.
Oh, were you?
Yeah.
When was that?
That's how I signed up. That was probably a week or two ago.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. And I have used it.
I'm actually in the process right now of trying to buy a purse on Purse.
You're so ironic, Michael.
Actually, that's not ironic. That's interesting.
That's coincidental.
There you go. Coincidental. Yeah. Ironic is used wrongly a lot.
I just literally used it wrong.
It's really difficult literally to find. I'm better at pointing it out.
Yeah,
I'm better at being like, recognize. Oh, that's ironic.
Yeah,
I'm like that congressman in porn. I know it when I see it.
But well, a lot of times somebody will say if it's a coincidence, they'll say it's ironic. But just understand,
I know.
If it's a coincidence, it's probably not ironic.
Yeah, ironic is when the definition I've heard of it that kind of makes sense is when the actual thing is the opposite of the implied thing or vice versa. Mm-hmm. Like, and a good example would be. If I were yelling at someone on Facebook about their grammar and I made some grammatical mistakes in my statement.
Right.
So buying a purse on purse.io.
Yeah, but it's taking a while. We're doing like a 27% discount.
Oh, wow.
Just to see if we could. It's like she got this purse. It was this little clutch that she got for her daughter's wedding, which she just came back from and had a great time. But
congrats.
She wanted to get another one like it, and they're like $27 each or something. And she was like, "Oh, that's really it was great for the money." So I had $20 in Bitcoin. So I'm trying to get a $27 purse for like $21.10 or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah, $21.10. But it's been a day and we haven't gotten it yet. So if we don't get it, we'll just buy it. But I'm trying to stretch the limits of the purse, the purse discount. Cause I've heard of people like it's 33% the top off now. You used to be able to go to 50%, but I think they had so many problems with tech support with people doing that. Mm. So they 33% is the limit, and people on Free Talk Live say they get it all the time, but it can take like 4 or 5 days. Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
Someone's got to pick up that transaction.
Yeah,
I did actually buy a book for somebody on there. It was like $10, and I had a Amazon gift card, so I figured, hey, I'll go ahead and do it.
You know who mostly uses it is people in other countries that get paid in Amazon gift cards for online work.
Yeah.
And they can't really use it because, the shipping would be too much for Amazon.
Wow.
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 You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Thank you for being a fiend. You may know the show is Triggerweens. We're saying worms and your new bigger buttons on. And if you threw a party and invited every yak you knew, you would see we'd still follow the NAP, and we're covered by Bipcot. Thank you for being a fiend.
So wait, when I use encryption, I'm supposed to write it to the president, and then he can't read it, so he passes it on to you. How do I do this?
Yes, sir.
Steve, that's funny. Steve. Yeah. Yeah. Fun with encryption, forgetting how it works. All right, so we've had our fun. We're going to talk about gun safety. Oh, that's a bad way to bring into this. So, yeah, when you're doing self-defense in your home, if you live in an apartment, you should probably use some expanding ammo so you don't wipe out the neighbors on the other side of the drywall. Speaking of wiping out people who live in suburbia, oh, that was just...
Ooh.
That wasn't even...
Nah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, Josh.
I kind of consider myself a friend of this guy, so I think I can make a bad sick joke. I think he would have liked it. No, he wouldn't have.
Okay.
I don't know. We're burying the lead. I'm not going to make a joke about burying. Somebody else start this.
Ugh. Yeah. Well, Michael's on his roll over there. I guess I'll take over.
Do this.
Yeah, my K roll in a K hole. Yeah.
The popular magazine, The New Yorker. This gentleman by the name of David David Crowley, who has been interviewed by Mr. Dean in the past, which is why he was asking his friend. Basically, this guy tragically...
Death of a dystopian.
Yes, the death of this dystopian. Anyway, this guy tragically died in horrific circumstances, but before that, he made an amazing film project.
A trailer.
Trailer.
He made the trailer and he's working on it. Yeah, he was in the process of it.
Anyway, it's called Gray State. Michael, what do you think about this Gray State project?
I heard about Gray State back in 2012 when this trailer first went up, and I watched it and I was blown away by the filmmaking quality. I mean, it's the encode of it on YouTube isn't that good, and it's not even high def, but you know, the look of it is amazing for what it is. And I heard he spent $6,000 making this thing, and it looks like, you know, a 3-minute trailer to a real movie, a Hollywood movie.
It looks good.
Yeah.
And it's kind of horrifying. It's kind of like, you know, I described it and he agreed that it was kind of like, what's that movie that takes place in Colorado where everybody gets killed? Red Dawn. Yeah. It's kind of like a new Red Dawn. Better than the new Red Dawn. Did you guys see the second Red Dawn? Wasn't that good? No. It's kind of like a video game. But so he was making this movie but it was kind of like Red Dawn, but the enemy wasn't Cuba and Russia. The enemy was the United States government. You know, it was like martial law, people being shot in the street by soldiers, and a resistance, a plucky resistance forms. And you know, the resistance is played by the director David Crowley and some of his army buddies, and it just looked amazing. I mean, it looked so good, and I could tell that whoever made this really worked hard on it. So I found him, and he wasn't easy to find. Like, this was when he first started out. Like, people didn't really know who he was. Like, that video had maybe 10,000 views first time I saw it. It has like 2.5 million views now, I think. And I interviewed him. I talked to him. I'll definitely put this in the show notes, the link to the interview I did with him on my kind of short-lived, for about a year, I had a podcast called Anarchy Gumbo, and it was all interviews and guests, you know, a different person every time. It kind of led to what the Freedom Fiends is now, because I was doing that while I was doing the show with Nima Vidotti, and we'd gotten on radio, and Neiman was just suddenly too busy to do radio, and we were only doing radio 2 days a week, and I wanted to go to 7 days a week, and he just could not do it. And he took maternity leave, you know, and I had a bunch of people take his place that had been on Anarchy Gumbo, and then when he came back, he just said he couldn't stick around to do it for very long. So, you know, it became...
So yeah, interviewed David.
Yeah, so I interviewed him. And I talked to him for like 45 minutes before the interview, too. We kind of pre-gamed. I used to do that back then with interviews with people that had time. I did it with Cody Wilson, too. And we had a good time. And he actually said in the interview, basically, that if he's ever found dead, there's probably a government agency behind it, which is really creepy and weird in light of all this.
Considering he was found dead.
Yeah. But there's a discrepancy whether, you know, it was a murder-suicide. It was him, his wife, and his daughter. Meow.
Sad.
So sad.
Sad.
Yeah. We're going to talk about it more when we get back. Yeah. Unfortunately. It has to be talked about, unfortunately.
I agree.
All right. If any of you guys are ever found tragically dead, I'll be sad about it. Then I'll make jokes about it a few days later, or a year later, a few years later.
I really hope that you do.
Yep. Cool.
Please joke about my death.
I'm going to have to play that in libertarian court when people yell at me and say too soon.
Make as many puns as possible.
I'll put it in the show notes so I'll be able to find it.
Are you a political activist who does things that the government might not like? Then this free ebook may save your life. Rats is your guide to protecting yourself against snitches, informers, informants, agents provocateur, narcs, finks, and similar vermin. Rats was written by OG libertarian Claire Wolfe. Rats is a short book, easy to read, and available free in many formats. Download Rats free at rats-nosnitch.com. That's rats-nosnitch.com.
Meow. 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 good freedom? Who's a good freedom?
This is the Freedom Fiend.
Go for it.
Oh, I thought you were going. Okay, broadcasting right through the Libertarian Reeducation Center's low orbit ion cannon, high atop Financial Beast Plaza on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. Please insert the purple wire into your cortex now.
Ugh, it's just a joke.
The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org.
Yeah. The name of the show is...
Get off me, kitty.
No, that's not it. That's Pocket Alibi. You should go get Pocket Alibi. It's a fun little app. We like it.
Get off me, kitty.
Yeah, it says all sorts. It says a couple hundred different things, like,
But that's none of my business.
Not my circus, not my monkeys.
Not my circus, not my monkeys.
Not my circus, not my monkeys.
Not mice.
All right, so what do we do on the Freedom Fiends? We talk about stuff, and the name of this show, the name of this episode is... The smallest minority is the fiend. Do you guys know what that means? What that's from? Explain
no,
it, please.
No idea.
Go for it, Michael, because I don't.
There's a libertarian saying by some probably old dead libertarian. The smallest minority is the individual. And the basic premise is it's basically a line to use on left, a line to use on leftists when they're like, well, I'm in the minority. I appreciate minority rights, and I'm all concerned about minority rights. And you say to them, well, you know, you really don't, because the smallest minority is the individual, and most of your actions are aimed at the collective. And they're like, but you're mincing my word, then you didn't sign the show's social contract. Our friend David from the Philippines suggested that there should be BIPCOT... social contract toilet paper, and I really like that idea. If someone wants to do that,
totally great idea, David.
Yep, so the smallest minority is the individual, and if you don't believe in individual rights, you, sir, are a racist and a fascist. So,
and a socialist,
isn't that how the kids
and
do?
your feet stink.
Your feet stink.
You know, there's only one problem with the social contract toilet paper is that, you know, it's basically a performance piece, and you kind of have to perform it only for yourself. That's the only issue with that. Unless you're, into some cool stuff, but whatever.
But when you have company over, then they'll see it, and they'll get a good laugh out of it. And
if you want to perform it for others, I suppose you could, but...
I'm not saying...
Hey, Braden, your kink is not my kink.
It's not my kink.
I'm open to almost anything except that and blood play.
Bad touch.
Thank you. Yeah.
It's not cheating if you sleep with a ghost.
All right. So, speaking of ghosts, we're going to talk about, my friend, David. What's my friend's last name?
Crowley.
Yeah. My good friend, David, what's his name? There's that thing too of like people always claim, like, they exaggerate their relationship with people after they die. Like, I guess you could say, you like David Crowley? Name five of his albums. That's something that Steve Miller always does. Like, when people say, David Bowie died, I'm so sad, I'm weeping tears. Mm-hmm. And, but it's name five of his albums. And I actually thought about that, and I could not name five of his albums. I could name four of his albums, but I could name like 45 of his songs probably. But I never owned albums. I made mixtapes. But so David Crowley. I liked him a lot. I respected him. I interviewed him. And you, sir, are no David Crowley. No. And I will post the interview with him in the show notes. David Crowley is a filmmaker, for those joining us for the second hour, who made the trailer to the film and is working on the film Gray State, which was kind of like Red Dawn if the enemy was the United States federal government instead of the Russians and the Cubans. And he died in really bizarre circumstances. He was found dead in his home in Apple Valley, Minnesota, which is about 10-minute drive from where our here's a weird like connection that's not a connection. Genesis Communications Network, where we do our radio broadcasting through, is 10 minutes from Apple Valley, Minnesota. Wow.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah.
What does it mean, Michael?
Yeah. I think I heard about this.
What does it all mean?
I think I actually heard about this from a board op who's not even there anymore. Like, we went to do our show, and they're like, oh, my God, Michael, did you hear about that guy? You know, yeah. Like he didn't know I interviewed him because it wasn't on the show. But, you know, he figured we'd know about it. And we're like, oh, my God, like he read it in the local paper that day. So
there's a comment on that interview you did with him. Somebody let you know that he had passed on and you wrote back like, no way. Like it sounded like that's when you were finding out about it. Oh, it was crazy to read those old comments.
That was it. That was it. But I.
Yeah, that's on there. It's public record.
But I remember something about some. You caught me in a not remembering things well. That sounds like a fib, but there was something about a board. Oh, it was a board op was reading the local paper to us about it from there. But they found him dead in his house with a gunshot to his head, gun next to him on the floor, gunshot dead. His wife and gunshot dead his young daughter, who was like, I don't know, 8 or 9 or 10. And they'd been in there for like 10 days, you know, before they were found. And the dog had been eating them.
Yeah.
Because that's what happens when your dog's in your house and there's nothing to eat and you're something to eat. And there was a really, really bizarre detail that the police did not release until I guess they told the families a year later, and I learned about it from this article. This article was written with the cooperation and help of, I think, David Crowley's family but definitely the dead wife's family. Which was it one? Which one? Was it both? It was a hard article to follow because there's so many players in it, you know?
Yeah, it sounded like David Crowley's friend gave this reporter all of Crowley's notes. And stuff like that. So it has some support.
It's painted in the wife's blood on the wall, said Allah Akbar.
Is that how you say that? Crazy detail.
That's like helter skelter stuff, man.
Yeah, that is helter skelter.
Yeah. That is helter skeltery. But it's like they didn't tell the family that, and the police had someone paint over it. That's wrong, I think.
Isn't that like wild incompetence and illegal?
Yeah.
Like, that's gotta be, right?
Well, people say he was killed. I think I'm going to lose my anarchy badge if I say maybe I believe that he killed himself.
There goes the badge.
There goes my badge. I'll lose my BIPCOT journalism license. There it is. my BIPCOT press pass in my hat.
I mean, just reading through this, it kind of seems like he might have done it. Honestly. Yeah.
Well, I mean, whoever wrote this definitely believes it. And I'm sure that the tinfoil hat rifle polishers that, you know, pleasured themselves to the trailer of Gray State while polishing their rifles. And there were a lot of people like that. I mean, people were like nuts for this, you know. But
I can't figure out why the police would not disclose that to the family. Like,
yeah, and the police, I mean, also the police were grossly incompetent in that they gave a statement to the paper like the next day, you know, saying, well, we haven't, you know, closed this yet, but it looks like a murder-suicide. Like, that's... Here, I have a lot of problems with a lot of things about this. One is that police have a monopoly on being the first people allowed to examine a crime scene. You know, I mean, I guess if you're ultra rich, you know, like Bill Gates could probably have, you know, if someone in his family died, he could probably have someone there, private investigator, like filming it too or something. But the police, you know, just kick everyone out and stomp on everything. And I mean, Dick Cheney, when he shot his lawyer in the face, you know, he had like his people come in and deal with it and then went to the like local sheriff 12 hours later or something. I think it was 12 hours.
That is so far above my pay grade. Crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. But I don't know, man.
Yeah, so this is a total tragedy, man. I was in pretty high spirits getting ready for my Fiends episode, and then Michael sent me this article.
Here, like, be bummed out. You know, my wife made a comment that I'm surprised escaped me, and I'm surprised it escaped the reporter, but maybe because he's a lefty New Yorker who thinks all minorities are wonderful. You know, the Allah Akbar on the wall, I mean, she was Muslim. Her family's Muslim, and he was keeping her from her family, and she told her dad she wanted to leave him, and he was like, well, is he beating you? Is your husband beating you? And she was like, no, but I really want to leave. And her dad said, well, if he's not beating you, you know, you have a family. Make it work. Which is definitely an old worldy thing to say. Not even necessarily Muslim. Yeah. But it might, I'm thinking like family member of her, you know?
Sure, man.
Like, he wasn't Muslim. I mean, why would he do that? But
yeah, I mean, obviously this article is sort of painting the picture throughout that David Crowley was sort of slowly losing his grip on reality over like a couple year time period. So, you know, according to the article, at that, you know, to the at the point where he's allegedly, you know, taking out his own family, you know, at that point, I guess you can do anything, including write Allah Akbar on the wall.
Well, also though, another, you know, another like really circumstantial thing that could be, you know, a relative or friend of the family. There was a Quran in the house and was open to a passage on forgiveness.
Right.
That was pretty weird.
It said the Quran was next to his wife. Like he had placed it there after he shot her.
Yeah.
According to the article.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it's such a, it really, it's a case when you look at all the publicly available facts, it looks really strongly like it could be either. Here's the thing why I don't think it's the government did it. I mean, I would think maybe it's a family member did it, but not him. But the, and I don't want to besmirch his family. That's just something that popped through our head for a minute. But sort of like the things that popped through his head. No, I'm trying to make jokes, man. Trying to be cool.
Wow.
I don't know. I'm not going to go to the break saying what I was about to say. We'll come back and I'll tell you about it. Hey man, I want people to joke like this when I die about me.
I do, honestly.
But you know what? No matter how the government did it, no matter what happens, if I die of old age, the government did it.
The government.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Is your child defiant, independent, annoyingly inquisitive? After a long, hard day of following the rules, who wants to deal with troublesome kids? 49% of children suffer from oppositional defiant disorder, or ODD. Symptoms of ODD include independent thought, rampant creativity, and failure to submit to authority. But now there's a solution. The good people at Pilfer can help you with their time-release, once-daily capsule, Compliacin. Your child won't be able to form his own opinions, let alone express them. It maintains your child's ability to go to a state-run school and perform simple tasks around the house. You won't have to worry about parenting, and the school won't have to deal with your kid asking questions. Compliacin. You'll go from this.
Quit telling me what to do! Quit telling me what to do! Quit telling me what to do!
To this.
Good morning, Mother. I love going to school. And this week we're learning all about how the government is our federal family and they're here to help us.
Compliacin. Talk to your school psychiatrist and ask for it by name.
No, it's not suitable for radio.
Yeah, definitely not.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. All right. We're talking about the death of David Crowley and family. Gray State. You know, they're in the trailer for that. The wife and kid are like watching a TV news thing, you know, horrified watching the events unfold in the beginning, or like about a minute into that trailer. And David Crowley's into it. He's one of the really good looking guys with a gun. Did you guys see a picture of him? Really handsome fella. Really beautiful family.
He seemed like
too.
He had a lot going for him.
Yeah. He did.
I read that his wife and child were in the trailer, and I could not bring myself to go back and watch it.
Oh, you watched it? What did you guys think of the trailer for Grey State?
It was intense.
Well, yeah, it's intense. It's amazing what he did on, you know, such
$6,000
shoestring budget.
Yeah, I mean, that probably includes
film talent.
It includes like pulling every favor you have to make stuff at that budget level. But even it was unbelievable.
Yeah, absolutely.
Really, really high quality. Yeah, I haven't watched that since he died. I watched it two or three times before I interviewed him and never watched it again. And I watched it again today after I read this article, and I wept tears. I was alone. I was like wishing my wife was here just to hug, because I was just feeling overwhelmed with this, like, life could be so horrible and it's so good to have life not horrible kind of feeling, you know?
Yeah, man. I think I was feeling quite similar after reading the article.
So I was thinking some very, like, I'm not going to make a determination of he killed himself and his family or they were killed. Yeah, I mean,
we don't know all the facts. So.
And it's ridiculous that people do. There are, you know, there are videos about this that have 100,000 views, and like every comment is obviously the government killed him. But here's a couple thoughts. Like, I don't think he was important enough for the government to kill him. I don't think
my thought exactly. Yeah.
I don't think this movie would have created a groundswell of resistance. You know.
For sure.
I think the bayonet polishers would have watched it and talked about it and bought the T-shirt and kept on voting and kept on paying taxes. You know.
Yeah, if they haven't taken out Alex Jones, you know, it seems unlikely they would take out somebody.
Our label mate here on GCN, who also interviewed David Crowley.
Wow.
After I interviewed David Crowley, but my interview came out later, because back then I wasn't into the, like, immediacy of doing an interview and put it up, like, as soon as I can edit it, like I am now. So yeah. I actually interviewed David Crowley before Alex Jones. But another thought I had I said in the interview, like, yeah, I'm going to put this out in 2 weeks. I'll send you an interview, an email when it's out. I thought of an argument for the opposite, for the, you know, he was killed by the government or by someone other than himself.
He was murdered. Yeah.
So there's a documentary film coming out about him that's mentioned in this article. Do you guys see that? And
I think it's called A Gray State.
Yeah, A Gray State or A Gray State Movie or something. But
something like that, yeah.
You know, and it's showing in some big film festival. Like, you know, it's got the lefties behind it. And you know, what better thing to do than, like, to fit the, you know, when documentaries are always, like, written, like, even when it's something that really happened, like, you arrange the editing and the narration to tell the story you want to tell. Every documentarian pretends to be searching for truth, but every documentary is really telling the story the filmmaker wants to tell. And, you know, the narration he wanted to tell, I'm sure he's a lefty. He's, you know, if he's cozy with the New Yorker, you know, the narration is guns make you crazy. You know, that's the narrative. You know, I could see, I'm not saying, like, they killed him to make the movie. I'm saying, like, you know, they could ignore certain facts and amplify other facts, other clues to make it look like, you know, this. But, you know, the article really didn't talk that much about guns. I liked that about it. It didn't really make that kind of it really seemed like it was kind of cheerleading for him. You know, it didn't paint him to be, it painted him as someone becoming crazy, but he was someone you wanted to cheerlead for, man. That was, like, the other thing was, I really, when I heard he killed, like, this thing happened, I was just astonished, because he seemed like the last person in the world that would kill himself.
Yeah, but he really
people
did.
Say
yeah.
that a lot about, you know, the interview I did with him, he was so up, so upbeat, so cheery. Sure. You know, he was Christian. He was one of those, like, Christians that's upbeat about life. Like, you've met people like that are really sincere about it. And, but, you know, that could also be the beginning of a slide into manic depression. So who knows?
Totally. Yeah.
Also, like, reading about his obsession with this. Have you ever been that obsessed? I've never been that obsessed about a project to where, like, it would kill me if it didn't happen. But I've been pretty obsessed about art projects.
He posted the storyboard all over the house.
That looked like one of those scenes in the movies, like Fear X, like the reporter trying to solve, you know, the detective with all the...
Who goes crazy.
A beautiful mind, you know? It looked like that wall.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
All right.
You're listening
to The Government
Did
It.
Fiends,
we'll be back.
And I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
All right.
Making the world a better place with Great Liberty Media is not easy, but it is effective. Making the world a better place with Great Liberty Media doesn't even pay very much at all. Sometimes we even have to pay out of our own pockets. But we do it because we have to. For you. And for the children. Here at the Freedom Fiends, we've been producing amazing and effective Liberty Media every day since 2011. Radio shows, podcasts, movies, music, cryptocurrencies, and yes, even memes. The Freedom Fiends also run the world's only Liberty Media Teaching Hospital and the world's only Voluntarist Media University. Our hands-on classes educate and shape hundreds of the great Liberty speakers of today and tomorrow, and they, in turn, will teach and inspire others. Heck, even the ones who got fired or quit in a huff still hold useful skills and equipment to hone their own Liberty Media and teach others. Freedom Fiends Media and our students' media is a rising groundswell to help create happy Liberty lives around the world and maybe even on to Alpha Centauri. Kitty cats and puppies like living in Liberty homes more than in statist homes. So please donate to the Freedom Fiends, if only for the kitties. Hashtag please donate Freedom Fiends, think of the kitties.
You got one cat or more cats?
Just the one.
You got one cat or are you insane?
One kitty.
I got three cats.
She's a good kitty.
Three cats kitty. With two people. That's only 1.5 cats per person, so we're not that crazy.
That seems like a legitimate number.
Yeah. Well, there's actually a limit, a legal limit for cats in my town. Mm-hmm. A lot of towns have this, but yeah, people don't know.
Strictly enforced by your representative.
Not really. Actually, I had three cats. You know, we had three cats, and I was at the vet one time, and they have a cat there that was, you know, like the house cat, or you know, a cat that was just walking freely around the vet's office on the counter. Yeah.
We had one of those when I worked at the vet.
Yeah. Oh, you worked at a vet. Oh, that's
great.
Yeah,
I was a receptionist.
Oh, that's awesome.
Cool.
This kitty came over and just really started loving on me hard and was like rubbing its face on my, trying to get into my armpit, which for some reason, cats really like the smell of my armpit, even if I'm wearing deodorant. Like, you know, if it's more than 8 hours.
Is it just one armpit or is it both of them?
It's both of them, but it's left is more. Why?
Okay.
Is this a thing?
No, I don't know. I was trying to make a joke and then you told me that's true.
No, it's real.
I think we should make it a thing.
It's a thing. You know,
always the left one.
Well, that should be a question on the ghost dating website of, you know, which armpit do cats sniff on you? Cat ghost.
That's a good question.
This is important.
Yeah, but, you know, she was like, oh, do you want to take that one home? And I was like, well, we have three cats. You know, you can't legally have more. And they're like,
yeah.
I have eight cats and five of them were given to me by the city shelter. Like that's basically she explained that's a law that there shouldn't be any law like that, but that's a law that they only enforce if someone's a crazy cat person or, you know, not taking care of, has too many cats, or it's a nuisance or whatever, but you know, they don't enforce it, but I don't know. Three cats is a lot anyway to have.
Sure.
Yeah. More than that's crazy. All right, we're gonna.
My one.
We're gonna do some noodle chasers. Well, no, unicorn chasers. After
unicorn
that,
chasing.
David Crowley story, which is a phrase created by Wired magazine, who we started the show with. It's like, you know, like a chaser, like a drink chaser. After you have some, you know, bad tasting liquor, then you have some good tasting soda pop or whatever as a chaser. So you have you read a really depressing story and then you have a chaser, you have something happy after it. We're gonna read some Michael Dean quotes. We went through a bunch of these before, but these are, and I want to note that these are all pre-libertarian Michael Dean. I mean, I've always kind of been libertarian deep down in my soul, but I was pretty much apolitical most of my life. I was like a lazy Democrat who, you know, I'd go vote maybe if there wasn't something good on TV. Like, that's about how political I was. So, and that was back when, you know, to watch something on TV, you had to watch it. Couldn't watch it later. So, we got a couple of these quotes left. Let's read and discuss while I go turn my heater off.
All right. Go for it, V.
Expectations are appointments with resentments.
Ah, yes. Sounds like it was inspired maybe in a a group meeting type setting?
I guess that kind of makes sense.
It actually was. It's that one's so good. I can't even believe I made it up. It sounds like something that should be in an AA book. But
it sounds you're the like coolest person in the world, AA. Father Michael.
I'm what?
Oh, I said you're the coolest person in the world, Father Michael.
Can you say that slower, please?
This is creepy. Yeah, say it more like you're brainwashed. You're the
coolest person in the world, Father Michael. That is really... No, now that I say it like that, it sounds super creepy. Thanks for that.
You know what sounds really creepy? It would be like four women saying that in unison.
Oh, yeah.
Can we make this happen?
Wearing white robes. I think we need another female co-host, not because of, what's that thing where you hire people because of, what's the word for that?
Affirmative action.
Yeah, it's not, someone asked me if it was affirmative action last time we did this and got V, but,
I take that as an insult.
No, it's not. It's not affirmative action. I saw your videos and they were good.
That as an insult from them.
Oh, yeah. Well, they were insulting. Well, people are insulting. That's why I don't listen to them. I talk to the world.
Everyone on the internet is insulting. This is on the internet.
They're horrible.
They just hide behind their computers because that's what they do. They hide in their mom's basement behind their computers. And they're like, I don't like this.
I know. That mom's basement thing is so insulting. But it's true in some cases. But here's the thing. It's true in all cases. People say things on the internet they'd never say to your face.
Yeah.
And they say things all day long, every day on the internet. Everyone says things that would get you punched in any bar in the world. Yeah.
Unless you don't violate the NAP. The non-aggression principle, for those who don't know what that is.
What about
don't aggress upon others.
What's your complete sentence?
I was saying I would not punch somebody in the face just for saying something to me in person. Because that would be a violation of the non-aggression principle.
Yeah, everyone's into, like, violence for words now. It's really creepy. It's,
That is creepy. You should talk to MK about that.
You know, I was thinking about this earlier, and I was thinking that actually what...
MK disagrees with her.
What, does she want to punch people for saying things?
I'm going to misquote her, so please forgive me, MK, but she said something along the lines of, you know, at some point when you're... When your words become so horrible, someone else would be justified in punching you and breaking the NAP.
Man, she's...
There are some people who I wouldn't step
I'm
in.
I'm definitely misquoting her. So
should I fire her on air right now?
No. Like Brayden said. I'm 100% misquoting her, but it was along those lines.
She's upset that I've been saying there's only two genders. How about this? There's only one gender. That's what I'm going to start saying. But
human?
Yeah. So... V, how many genders are there?
I'm not getting into this.
Ah, okay.
I'm not doing it on air.
How about you, Brayden?
I have no idea, man. How many people are there in the world?
8 billion.
Let's go with 8 billion genders then.
Well, that's what...
As long as it doesn't hurt me, I really don't care what people do.
Yeah, same here. It doesn't affect my life in any way.
Although a lot of people want to punch people over this. If you believe there's two genders... Yeah. Yeah, like, I don't think MK wants to punch me over this, but she said to some other fiend that, you know, she's like, I don't know if I can do the fiends anymore because Michael's being all normie about genders.
Well, anybody who feels that way should probably learn how to create a constructive argument using their words instead of using their fists, because that's just not
well. I don't think she doesn't want to punch me over that, and she wasn't mean about it. But I also really think the you know, I kind of think, like, I don't really care what any... I don't care what anybody says. I don't think any words that people say out in the world are basis to get punched. But I would almost say that some things that people say to your face are basis to get punched. I kind of think the non-aggression principle is a rough guide. And I think there are people who immediately, just after me saying that, think the Freedom Fiends are horrible. Like, I'm horrible. I'm not a good anarchist. But I will say this. A lot of people who only live by the non-aggression principle and say, like, that's the limit on everything, often live in their mother's basement and haven't had a lot of world experience. Right. And...
Well, even...
You can have personal ethics that extend beyond it, though.
Ah,
which I do.
Also, a lot of people who judge the non-aggression principle as the only rule in life are also rude and mean a lot.
That's very true.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I've talked to a lot of people about that too.
They've never had the non-aggression principle tested in their own life. Like, this is all theoretical for them.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, sort of along the lines of living in your basement, but.
Yep. Yep.
I think it's a good starting point too.
I think you really can't explain Austrian economics with conviction until you've supported yourself for 5 years. That's a rule. That's my new quote. Yeah. Let's just edit.
Boom. We'll write it down.
You can't edit IMDb though, like you can Wikipedia, but unfortunately.
Oh yeah. Unfortunate.
Digital filmmaking is the new punk rock.
Oh yeah, I said that. That
you
was.
Don't say.
That sounds today like, well, duh, you know, but duh. I said that in the year 2000 when it was like, you know, who had a camera in 2000?
Not because you're a hipster.
Yeah. nobody had, there were no video phones. Right. And, you know, unless they were like Mr. Burns, like billionaires might've had, you know, like brick size, suitcase size video phones. But, you know,
this is pre YouTube.
Yeah, I mean, there's not a lot of pictures. It is pre-YouTube. Yeah, I wrote my book, $30 Film School, pre-YouTube. Like, wow. That's, yeah. You know, I got some good news. I got some good news. Speaking of ahead of my times, my band Bomb, my old band, that, you know, favorite band of everyone in Nirvana, a favorite band of everyone in Nirvana, and I've got the interview to prove that. And I mention it about every fourth show. That's one of the bingo board things.
Every third.
But, the guitarist in Bomb, the original guitarist in Bomb, we later had another guitarist, Doug Hilsinger, and then we later had both guitarists at the same time, went from a three-piece to a four-piece. But Jay Crawford, the original guitarist in Bomb, I have been intentionally not speaking to since, I don't know what year, it was when Obama was running for office the first time. What year was that? 2006, 2007,
7
was when he's running. Okay.
Yeah. Okay, 7, yeah.
I got really offended with something that Jay Crawford said to me. Jay Crawford said I was mentally ill because I carried a gun. He's one of those inveterate lefties.
Gross.
And he said that to me when Obama.
Did you feel the need to break the NAP in that moment?
No, I just said to him, like, you know, I'm done with you. I'm blocking your email. I'm not answering you anywhere. You know, don't contact me. And he found me on Facebeef of all places the other day and wrote to me, and I guess I didn't even blocked on there because, you know, this was before I was on Facebook. So this is MySpace where I got in this argument with him. Oh. But I wouldn't. And he wrote me the other day and was like, hey, how you doing? I was thinking about you the other day. And I was like, do you remember why I haven't talked to you? It was intentional. You know, you said horrible things about me to me and to other people. At least he said it in my face. He didn't just say it behind my back, but I heard from other people he said this too. And, you know, this is a guy that, like, I lived with in a van for like 8 years. So I was kind of, and I used to live in his garage, actually, and he charged me rent to live in his crappy freezing garage.
Was it at least a good price?
Oh yeah, I think it was like $80 a month or something.
Yeah, there you go.
In San Francisco, you know.
Yeah.
That garage is probably converted to a $1,800 a month condo by now.
Easily, yeah.
But we're talking again, and he's the only guy in Bob I'm talking to. I would talk to Doug Hilsinger, but he thinks I'm mentally ill because I don't love liberals. And Tony Fagg, the drummer, he's a sociopath. I don't want to talk to him. All right, worms.
Worms.
Grievances on the radio.
Listening to the Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Anti-war, pro-free market. That's antiwar.com.
All these quotes, these Michael Dean quotes. This one, was very prescient to say in like 2000, mm-hmm. film studios are obsolete. The film studios in 10 years will be Google, Amazon, Yahoo, and Hewlett Packard, and probably Walmart. 2 out of 5 yeah. ain't bad.
Wow. Yeah. Wait, what year did you say that?
2000.
That is surprising, man. Good call.
Yeah.
Michael's psychic. Although,
Hewlett Packard? I don't know about that. What is it?
Well, HP,
I was probably looking at my printer when I said that. So
yeah. Yahoo went under, so.
Yeah, there's a bunch of... We didn't say movies are obsolete. The future will be all about spoken audio either. Mm. And
I've heard you say that before.
Social networking provides websites for people who shouldn't be anywhere near a computer. And I'm not rich and famous. I'm poor and popular, which is still true. So there's a Michael Dean quote that's not on here that's going to lead into this final segment, the redemption in the third act, which is not on this list, and it's that the internet is great because it allows you to talk to people you'd never meet otherwise, and the internet is horrible because it allows you to talk to people you'd never meet otherwise.
Yeah.
Please discuss. Spelling counts.
Well, like I was saying earlier, is that I think that as a whole, society is becoming less violent and more civilized. And I think that the reason why we think that people are using violence to solve their problems is because that's what we see on the viral videos. You know, the internet facilitates that, and it's sensationalism.
Yeah. I'm sure some Nazi got punched in the face on the street by a social justice warrior for being a Nazi.
Yeah.
Before the year 1994, and we never heard about it, you know?
Yeah.
Now it's my screensaver, but no, I'm kidding.
Yeah, I was going to mention, there's a...
Screensaver?
There's a book by a scholar, Steven Pinker. It's called The Better Angels of Our Nature, Why Violence Has Declined. And
interesting.
Yeah, in there, he goes through, like, with incredible detail, statistics looking at like prehistoric times and how much violence went on then, and he compares that to today to draw a bunch of conclusions, basically that violence in general is down an incredible amount today versus what it used to be. He calls it the vanishing communication gap. So it seems like the world's more violent because we talk to each other more than we used to in the past, even though there is statistically,
and there's 24-hour news, and there's sensationalism, but you know who else? It's in their best interest to exaggerate the amount of violence, other than reporters.
Tell us, Michael.
Politicians.
True.
Yeah, because they want to create an environment of fear, because if things are good, people don't need them. You know. People think they don't need them. If things are horrible, you know, if there's murders happening in your town and you're hearing about it 24/7, a lot of people think they need more police. You know, they think they need the politician that's going to be tough on crime, which is politicians lying for decades saying we need to be tough on crime because that gets them elected by old people who are afraid. And that's the only people who really vote anymore for the most part. In local elections, especially, but nationally too. I mean, that's why, you know, you have people sitting in prison for life for marijuana and things like that.
Right.
Yeah.
Victimless crimes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Nonviolent.
And, you know, and people serving, you know, 20 years for really small victim crimes that it would have been a lot better if that person had just to have to go work for 3 months and pay the money to their victim. You know?
Right. Just remember, kids, if you're ever on the jury and there's no victim involved in the crime in question, just say not guilty. Jury nullification.
That sounds like a great idea. I'm not going to tell people to do that because there was actually, I would say be careful about telling people to do that in actual situations, because there was somebody that was arrested for calling in a radio show in Colorado and saying that she'd done that on a jury that day. Did you guys hear about that?
No, yeah. I missed it.
Yeah.
We'll have to talk about
that one
sometime.
For a later date. Yeah.
Do your victimless activism. Carefully.
Don't do it on air.
Yeah, I didn't actually do that, though.
Oh, I know.
Good work.
Yay.
Woo, that was a good episode, guys.
Google trade nullification. To read about it.
Hashtag.
Or don't
jury use nullification.
As a concept.
Right.
Yes. Worms.
So many worms.
So many worms. Whoever dies with his art on the most hard drives wins.